Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Today's program is part four in my series, my continual sporadic series about wokeism. Back in May, I did video 168, the false religion of wokeism. Then I did video 170, Christianity and wokeism. Then video 171, the war against wokeism continues. And now today, video 173, let's just call it Wokeism Part 4, The Resistance Continues. I should have simply called all of these programs Wokeism Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. But I never know when I begin a program whether it's going to turn into a series or not. Wokeism and its followers, let's call them Wokeites, adhere to all of the ideology of leftism, social Marxism, identity politics, critical race theory, gender fluidity, LGBTQ acceptance, and intersectionality of all the repudiation of the law of nature and nature's God. And this false religion, and it is a religion, can be given the title wokeism because followers of this Antichrist ideology say that they've been awakened. They're woke. Awakened to what? Well, to this idea that we are being oppressed by the current status quo, by the traditional culture, and all the problems in the world are due to the powerful oppressing the weak. This is all based on the Marxist concept of the bourgeois oppressing the proletariat. The owners oppressing the workers. But now the oppression is not just economic, but social and moral. The claim is that the powerful are oppressing the weak with their Christian values. That's why this movement coming from the left is now called social Marxism. Karl Marx in the 19th century spoke primarily of economic oppression. But the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory, coming out of Columbia University, expanded Marx's theories by saying the oppression is really in moral values. That the oppression is coming from Western values of ownership, personal responsibility, work, the family, the Constitution, nationalism, law enforcement, laws concerning gender and sexual norms. And all of this is allegedly oppressing minorities, women, homosexuals. Hence, the solution is to remove all of these moral values from a society and to create a communistic economic and moral system. The whole thing is the atheistic Soviet philosophy of economics and social order revived. You know, and it's taken a while. It's taken many conservative voices shouting from the rooftops. But Americans are beginning to catch on that what the political left is pushing for is communism repackaged. And as I've mentioned before, Mark Levin is coming out with a book explaining all of this called American Marxism. To quote the cover, in American Marxism, Levin explains how the core elements of Marxist ideology are now pervasive in American society and culture. From our schools, the press, corporations, to Hollywood, to the Democratic Party and the Biden presidency, and how it is often cloaked in deceptive labels like progressivism, democratic socialism, social activism, and more. With his characteristic trenchant analysis, Levin digs into the psychology and the tactics of these movements, the widespread brainwashing of students, the anti-American purposes of critical race theory and the Green New Deal, and the escalation of repression and censorship to silence opposing voices and to enforce conformity. Levin exposes many of the institutions, intellectual scholars, and activists who are leading this revolution, and provides us with some answers and ideas on how to confront them. Also, note this article by Ian Haworth. Critical race theory is just communism with a racist twist. Quote, critical race theory, therefore, is simply a racial version of the standard leftist objective. With the same way communists sought to rebuild society under an economic focus, leftists are now attempting to leverage the subject of race in order to achieve the same ends. Unquote. And we know that the left is using racism because accusations of racism cause politicians to cower because they don't want to alienate, you know, the minority black vote. In Haworth's article, and it's a pretty good article, he quotes the definition of CRT from its proponents. The critical race theory CRT movement is a collection of activists and scholars engaged in studying and transforming the relationship among race, racism, and power. Unlike traditional civil rights discourse, which stresses incrementalism and step-by-step progress, critical race theory questions the very foundation of the liberal order, including equality theory, legal reasoning, Enlightenment rationalism, and neutral principles of constitutional law. So every Christian should become aware of critical race theory because it's the banner under which the Antichrist spirit is now parading. And CRT, wokeism, will come across to the public as being charitable. It sounds like it's helping the cause of the weak, claiming to be for justice and equality. But what it's really all about is a covert attack on Christianity, the law of God, and biblical truth. Now, a few CRT proponents are coming right out and saying that they're in a war against Christianity. But most are saying that this is a war against patriarchal values, narrow-minded family values, Western values, cisgender values, white values, the values of hate groups. Why do you think wokeism is keeping quiet about its war on Christianity, its real agenda? Well, because to reveal its true agenda would make for bad PR. I mean, wokeism knows that it's up against a nominal Christian America. And if they came out and said, we hate Jesus and love Satan, you know, that would offend and tip off most people. It's so much easier to claim that you're for Jesus and simply redefine Jesus. Just like ancient Baal worship spread by just simply redefining Jehovah worship. Plus, many of the followers of wokeism actually believe that they're following Christ's teaching by supporting various aspects of wokeism. I know of some young college students, even from Christian colleges, who believe Christianity is all about the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, even in Jesus' day, the Pharisees thought that they were serving God. False teaching is always propagated by hiding its true agenda in order to deceive the naive and the biblically illiterate. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. By their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Or 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, make sure that no one deceives you. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, Satan's whole agenda and his method is to deceive the nations. And throughout history, whenever God's truth was attacked, and whenever God's people were persecuted, it was always covert. It always comes in the name of fairness and justice, helping the oppressed, making a better world. And Christians are always called odium generis humani, haters of the human race. And the simple-minded and the spiritually immature are taken in. Now, I have covered many of these truths about wokeism in recent programs. I may sound like a broken record, but we need to hear this again and again. Just like Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble for me, but it's a safeguard for you. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. I'm sure Paul sounded like a broken record to the early church, constantly warning the new Christians about these doctrines coming from false teachers. And I hope we all understand that the New Testament letters are filled with warnings about false teachers. You know, the whole book of Galatians was written to refute the Judaizers. The whole book of Colossians was written to refute the wedding of Greek philosophy and mysticism with Christianity. The book of 1 John is written against the Gnostics. The book of Jude is written to refute LGBTQ false teachers. And every New Testament book contains some warnings against false teaching. You know, God's truth is often defined by what it's not. And the light is shown in contrast to the darkness. And modern day wokeism is really the same false teaching spoken of and refuted in the New Testament. But wokeism is coming with a new mask, new labels, new titles, which must be explained and exposed for our generation. Here's another thought. Realize that what we might be experiencing is not false teaching as usual as it's been throughout the entire church age, but this may be the beginning of the world's final assault on Christ and his people. Like Hitler in his Battle of the Ardennes. That was his final desperate offensive against Allied forces. I mean, Hitler lost the war, but he did have a final push at the end. And in the same way, we realize Satan in this world will lose, but the entire book of the Revelation, the end of this age, is about Satan's final assault on the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ that will put an end to and crush all other kingdoms, but itself will endure forever. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And the book of Daniel prophesizes this final assault. Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, and I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. And Daniel 7, 25, he, the Antichrist, will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and laws, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. And that assault will take place until Daniel 7, 22, until the Ancient of Days arrives and judgment is passed in favor of the saints of the Highest One, and the time arrives when the saints take possession of the kingdom. Do we realize we're in a war? And there will be a final offensive on the part of the enemy. There will be the empowerment of the ungodly in the last days. They will take over the institutions, the governments, the economy, just like we're seeing in our day. There will be the great apostasy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Literally, that word means rebellion or insurrection. And it's a grave mistake to think that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 is only referring to some, you know, church or ecclesiastical departure from the faith. Paul there is referring to a worldwide rebellion against God. In Psalm chapter 2, the kings of the earth will take their stand, their ideological position, and the rulers will take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, the Christ, saying, "Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." They want to throw off the law and the rule of Christ. And that's what the woke social leaders in America and in the whole world are trying to accomplish. What is called deconstructionism, the removal of Christianity from law, from language, from morals, both economic and social. And what is evident is that this war against God is heating up. The ungodly are being empowered. And they're being emboldened to do things that they would never have attempted in previous generations. Now, I am well aware we should all be, that this whole current assault could end very quickly and go back into hiding. Just like when Satan tempted Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. He failed, but he left him until a more convenient time. Satan is not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. And I'm sure he's tried many times in the past to get the world to embrace his agenda of a global antichrist. Maybe through the Ottoman Empire, or Nazi Germany, or Soviet communism. I mean, through these movements, Satan wreaked havoc in the world, but he failed to bring in the apocalypse. Because God decides when it's time for the world to be judged by the rise of the Antichrist. So this current ideological, wokist, critical theory attack could end in Satan's failure. I mean, Christian people in America could send it packing. And that's what I want to talk about. There are many good signs of resistance. At least we know wokeism is not going to succeed without a serious fight. I'm still working my way through Rod Dreher's book, Live Not by Lies. I've mentioned this book on previous YouTubes. It's a nice read. It's an easy read. The book is based on a lot of interviews he had with Eastern European Christians and their struggles with communists. Dreher shares a story of Alexander Ogornikov. He was a Russian anti-communist leader. And he set up clandestine discussion groups with new Christians, all former atheists from good Soviet families. And at one meeting, an elderly visitor, after hearing the testimonies and the political understanding of these fervent new Christians, this man said, "If just 10 of you had been in St. Petersburg in 1917, the communist Bolshevik revolution would not have happened." Well, the point is that communism took over Russia because it had very little opposition. It just walked into power. Because few people in Russia at that time could refute communism with any kind of biblical moral arguments. You know, Satan depends upon keeping people in the dark. What that visitor said reminds me of God's word to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 32, where God would spare Sodom if he found 10 righteous men in it. Now, I don't believe the point is that if there were just 10 believers in God, but 10 active, vocal warriors for God, truly righteous men. You know, as in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, if there is a man who does justice and seeks truth. But if that were the case, Sodom would never have become Sodom in the first place. But that story from Dreher is kind of an anecdotal illustration. It is true generally that evil cannot succeed if there is a strong righteous minority. But on the other hand, you know, we do see in the apocalypse a world in which evil is empowered, where evil is allowed to win by persecuting and killing a strong minority opposition, the righteous. But the opposition is there. You know, as in the case of Jesus and his 12 disciples and the 120, evil did get the upper hand. Christ was crucified, but only for a little while. Christ won, and apostate Judaism was destroyed. Well, here are some stories about the resistance to consider. First, a story from Gateway Pundit. Must see, mom from Soviet Union destroys Marxist critical race theory. This equity for all propaganda quickly ended with nothing to eat. Young mother born and raised in Soviet Union blasts critical race theory during a Bedford Central New York school board meeting, arguing it's actually a tyrannical Soviet ideology that results in mass starvation and has killed millions of people worldwide. Let's look at that clip.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Milena Kontareva, and I'm a mother of three children in district, and I'm very concerned. The proposed anti-racist program is just a prettier name for racial Marxist teaching. You don't need to sugarcoat it for me. I lived it. Same method, same vocabulary, same preferential treatment to certain groups. That's why equity is packed with good causes like diversity and inclusion, so nobody can challenge it. But I know. Ask me how I know. I was born in Soviet Union and my family has seen it all, suffering first from Nazi and then from tyrannical Soviet ideology. Back there, what started with equity for all quickly ended with nothing to eat for my people. And now my family is here because of it, because equity does not work. We did not come here for blanketed synthetic equity. We had enough of that one. We came here for equal opportunity under the law and freedoms in this country. Soviets extinguished all the excellence and opportunity. They told us they were advocates for equity and enemies of privilege. People believed and we paid the awful price. This ideology killed millions of people worldwide, and now you're bringing it to here, indoctrinate now our children. Equity was just a tool used by communists to make sure everyone was equally poorly educated, so people didn't question authority. While in definition it was about fairness, in reality it means same outcome. Nobody accepts mind-boggling sameness. The key tactic is to remove all the incentive and motivation to succeed for all the students. Is this why student committee proposing less homework and audit for IP classes? Why are you trying to demotivate students and lower the standards instead of directly helping underperforming students? That's exactly what equity means in reality, making everyone mediocre. Yesterday, I got a letter from Dr. Applebrecht. The Marxist equity mentioned 14 times. I have a message for everyone here. This is not a Bolshevik central school district in the Soviet Union. This is Bedford central school district in the United States of America. I lived in Siberia. I switched the continents because of equity. I can and I will switch the school district if equity gets pushed, but I will not switch an American dream and equal opportunity. The only system in the world that lifts people up, gives second chances to people like me, motivates and brings the best in people regardless of race and ethnicity. I lived it. Thank you very much.
Well, that Russian accent might be hard to understand. Here's the summary from the article. Under the guise of good intentions, compassion, and love for minorities and those discriminated against, the critical race theory and equity for all curriculum is marching society toward communism, the mother of three argued in a scathing 3-minute rebuke of the school board on Wednesday. Quote, the proposed anti-racist program is just a prettier name for racial Marxist teaching. You don't need to sugarcoat it for me. I lived it. Same method, same vocabulary. Same preferential treatment to certain groups, she lamented. That's why equity is packed with good causes like diversity and inclusion, so nobody can challenge it, but I know. You know, have you ever noticed that it's the new immigrants to the United States who have lived under communism that most understand and are alarmed by what's taking place in America? People don't learn the nature of evil until I have to live it. As Dreher points out in his book, it's not until communism devastated the Soviet Union that many people returned to hunger for God. Here's a story from Newsbusters about another school board meeting. Black father destroys critical race theory at Illinois school board meeting. Throughout the country, parents are rising up in response to the implementation of critical race theory in school curriculum. One such parent in Illinois offered a passionate condemnation of this pernicious ideology in a video, which has since gone viral. While attending a school board meeting, Ty Smith, a black father, decried the school deliberately teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other. Critical theory does exactly that. Its perspective is inherently racist as it teaches a worldview based solely through the lens of race. And here's that clip.
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, that's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, right, stand up, because I only got 5 minutes now, not 5 minutes. Two medical degrees, no mom, no dad in the house, worked my way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You gonna tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff, because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't gonna be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't gonna let you get no, oh, you know you're not gonna be able to do it because you know, the white man gonna keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now if some white man kept me down? How am I now directing over folks that look just like you guys in this room right now? How? What kept me down? What oppressed me? I work for myself from off the streets to where I am right now. You gonna sit here and tell me this lie of critical race theory? Of this the reason why black folks can't get ahead because of white folks? Are you kidding me? This is what we come to now. I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. The last thing I'm gonna say right here is something that's crazy. Martin Luther King said he wanted his kids to grow up in a world where they are judged by the contents of their what?
Their character,
not their skin. Yeah. If they letting this stuff go on right now, it is absolutely doing the complete reverse of what he's doing. So when February comes, don't talk about Martin Luther King. When February comes, don't talk about Black History Month. Y'all gonna sit there and just pretty much pee on his grave with this nonsense? That's exactly what's about to happen. When it all comes down to it, the person that's gonna be suffering from this, the one's gonna be hurt from this, is the kids. Yeah. 10 years from now, if this stuff goes on, whose fault is it gonna be? Whose fault is it going to be? Who are we going to look back on and blame for this? Because this is stuff we're talking about right now. This stuff is going on right now. I do this stuff on a daily basis. I'm in the hood. I'm in the communities. I'm out there with folks in their face. I've been doing this stuff since I was 18 years old, talking to black folks. And you know what? None of them are buying this nonsense. None of them are. But if you want to implement this into the school system, I guarantee you to the day that I die, I'm going to be the very person right there debunking stuff, tearing stuff down, letting them know they can do exactly what I did and get exactly where I am by putting themselves to work and getting there. And ain't not one white person ever going to keep any of them from getting there. So the CRT stuff, BS.
So what Ty Smith said completely goes against the leftist narrative of oppression, of blaming America, of blaming American values. And one thing to note, all of this opposition against communist ideology, a critical race theory, is coming mostly from Christians in the black, white, and Hispanic communities. Because once you have God's truth, you see the satanic lies for what they are. Here is another story from the Daily Wire about another unlikely opponent of critical race theory. Speaking against it at a Florida school board meeting, a black mother in Florida unloaded on critical race theory during a speech to the Florida Board of Education, warning that the far-left ideology was racist and that it will destroy America if it's not stopped. Keisha King, a Duval County parent representing Moms for Liberty, praised school choice and slammed the idea of dividing people on the basis of race.
My name is Keisha King. I'm a mom of two, one who's in the Duval County public school system and one in private school thanks to school choice. I'm also a member of Moms for Liberty, representing thousands of parents. Just coming off of May 31st, marking the 100 years of the Tulsa riots, it is sad that we are even contemplating something like critical race theory, where children will be separated by their skin color and deemed permanently oppressors or oppressed in 2021. That is not teaching the truth, unless you believe that whites are better than blacks. I have personally heard teachers teaching CRT, and we have had an assembly shut down because Duval County Public School System consultant thought it would be a great idea to separate students by race. This is unacceptable. CRT is not racial sensitivity or simply teaching unfavorable American history or teaching Jim Crow history. CRT is deeper and more dangerous than that. CRT, in its outworking today, is a teaching that there is a hierarchy in society where white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied people are deemed the oppressor, and anyone else outside of that status is oppressed. That's why we see corporations like Coca-Cola asking their employees to be less white, which is ridiculous. I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist, and saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well. This is not something that we can stand for in our country. And don't take it from me, look at the writers of these types of publications. Our ancestors, white, black, and others hung, bled, and died right alongside each other to push America towards that more perfect union. If this continues, we will look back and be responsible for the dismantling of the greatest country in the world by reverting to teaching hate and that race is a determining factor on where your destiny lies. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
So here's a woman who gets it. CRT is a new form of racism meant to create bitterness and discontent, to pit people against each other. It's a false, satanic explanation for the disparities between people. And here's another story. Yunomi Park, a 27-year-old who escaped North Korea, is warning that leftist professors inside America's top academic university is indoctrinating students with extreme ideologies that remind her of North Korea. So let's watch that clip.
That even those who have fled from totalitarian regimes seeking freedom in America in search of freedom of thought, they're taking notice. An actual defector from North Korea who attended the Ivy League institution known as Columbia University is speaking out, telling FoxNews.com the climate inside Columbia reminds her of North Korea, citing themes like anti-Western sentiment, collective guilt, suffocating political correctness. For example, during orientation, she said she was scolded for saying that she enjoyed the works of acclaimed author Jane Austen and was told the books are racist, along with being subjected to what she saw as nonstop anti-American propaganda. Here to tell her story is North Korea defector Yomi Park, along with Fox News contributor Mike Huckabee. Yomi, I read this story. You're saying, so you grew up and... How many years? You were in North Korea, what, 20 years? And you think the indoctrination in the United States at our Ivy League institution, Columbia, is as bad or worse as the propaganda, anti-American hate that you heard in North Korea?
So when I was in North Korea, first thing that I learned was that Americans were bastards. It was actually the one word. At school, when I was attending, they told me, actually, there's just math problem saying there are 4 American bastards, you killed 2 of them. Then how many American bastards left to kill? And as a child in North Korea, you have to say 2 American bastards. And when I came to America, a guy like, I fell in love with this country. This is such a wonderful country. I had never been accepted more than this country was. And as at Columbia University, literally every professor was saying that, you know, the problems that we have on today's world is because of white men. How they colonize Africa, Asia, right? That's how they mess up everything. And they are the one who needs to be blamed. And I couldn't believe that, like, am I sitting in North Korea's classroom or in America, actually? I couldn't believe why people are hating their own people that much.
Columbia University is the hotbed of communistic critical theory. And again, here's another person who has experienced the fruit of communism and knows more about the deceptive nature of the ideology and where it leads more than the average American. Another similar story, Fox News. A Virginia mom who endured Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution before immigrating to the United States rips a Virginia school board at a public meeting over its stubborn support of the controversial critical race theory. Quote, I've been very alarmed by what's going on in our schools, Chief Van Fleet told the Loudoun County school board members. You are now teaching, train our children to be social justice warriors and to loathe our country and our history. She goes on to explain that CRT in America is ideologically identical to Mao's Cultural Revolution that eventually ended in the murder of millions. So here's that piece.
I've been very alarmed by what's going on in our school. You are now teaching, training our children to be social justice warriors and to loathe our country and our history. Growing up in Mao's China, all this seemed very familiar. The communist regime used the same critical theory to divide people. The only difference is they use class instead of race. During the Cultural Revolution, I witnessed students and teachers again turn against each other. We changed school names to be politically correct. We were taught to denounce our heritage. The Red Guards destroy anything that is not communist, old statues, books, and anything else. We are also encouraged to report on each other, just like the Student Equity Ambassador Program and the Bias Reporting System. This is indeed the American version of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. The critical race theory has its roots in cultural Marxism. It should have no place in our schools.
The ideology of Marxism, critical race theory, social oppression, seems to be the natural go-to religion of people once they fully reject Christianity. Now, not all unbelievers are Marxists because their thinking is influenced by Christian heritage and natural law. But once people rethink and reject their Christian heritage and assumptions, they immediately embrace atheistic, communistic statism. I mean, these people can be on completely different sides of the planet, and they will all gravitate toward the same pagan worldview. And I believe this is because these are the arguments of Satan, the original rebellion against God in the garden, that God and his rules are oppressive. And this is the religion that the sinful flesh loves. And when people reject God, they have to have a religion. They have to have a basis for right and wrong. They have to have a purpose for living. They have to have goals for living. And this becomes the overthrowing of God's laws with forms of social and economic communism. Now, all these stories regarding critical race theory and the pushback show that there is strong opposition. You know, these stories are appearing on Fox News, which is the largest news cable organization in America. It has more than twice the viewership of CNN. And amazingly, the editors at Fox News are headlining criticism of CRT. I mean, the clips I just showed you are not people testifying before Congress, but personal YouTube and Facebook posts. Yet Fox News is making these events front page stories. And of course, these stories are not appearing on CNN or MSNBC or ABC. Those networks are turning small stories promoting the leftist narrative into headlines. Well, thank God for Fox News and other conservative media outlets. But the whole thing does remind us that the media can shape public opinion. I mean, a day is soon coming when the news media will not report on any opposition to the spirit of the age. And so the public will assume that the left has won and all voices of opposition will be quieted. That seems to be the plan. But for now, in the providence of God, we're learning of our brothers and sisters in Christ fighting for the truth. But here again is the question. Is this resistance going to succeed? Or is leftism so entrenched in our society that these voices of opposition are simply what we would expect? A few lonely voices speaking out against the change, but they're really just spitting in the wind. The woke have the schools, they have the entertainment industry, they have the news media, the government, and now many businesses. All they have to do is keep up the battle, bide their time, and they win by attrition when the older generation dies off. And so I have here a bunch of stories that illustrate some major successes on the part of the left. I mean, there are really so many, even the whole agenda of the Biden administration. But here are just a few. New Jersey School Board in Randolph Township erases all the names of the holidays on the school calendar, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Memorial Day, so as not to offend anyone. But Thanksgiving was changed to Indigenous People Day. Now, yes, there are people speaking, you know, out against these school boards and these teachers, but these public school leaders eventually are just going to do what they want to do. I mean, here's an article entitled, "Here are the thousands of teachers who say they're willing to violate law to keep pushing CRT." Quote, "Thousands of teachers have pledged to continue teaching based on critical race theory, even if state laws ban it." The Zinn Education Project, named after the anti-American and factually challenged historian Howard Zinn, has collected signatures from more than 4,200 teachers who pledged to teach the truth despite new state bills against it. And this brings up another big story that's happening all over America. This push for corporations and schools to hire diversity, equity, and inclusion coordinators to push the agenda of wokeism. I mean, these are all chaplains for critical race theory and LGBTQ. You know, as I mentioned last week, these companies would never hire Christian chaplains to promote Christian values in a company or in schools, but they're now hiring chaplains of secular humanism, new priests of paganism. And if a corporation doesn't create this position, it's targeted by the left as being racist. I have here in front of me a booklet from the Wayne County School System called Summary of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Goals and Outcomes. And of course, this was produced and enforced because the Wayne School District recently hired a diversity coordinator, Tamika Reese, who, quote, discovered that students are reading novels brimming with themes of bias and history textbooks focusing too much on European culture. There is always a face behind false doctrine. Tamika Reese. And even the Biden administration is trying to set the example in this by hiring a chief diversity and inclusion director at the White House. Here's the announcement from a group called Inclusive America. Biden and his team have made it clear from the beginning that they are taking diversity, equity, and inclusion seriously, and we applaud them for taking the steps to demonstrate this by creating a chief diversity and inclusion director for the White House. Now, this nonprofit group called Inclusive America is one of those activist leftist groups that gets funding from foundations and businesses that feel they have to support woke social programs. And groups like this get government grants, like in Biden's recent $1.9 trillion relief program. But according to the website, the goal of this group is to get government agencies and corporations to hire diversity coordinators. There's always a group behind this stuff. Quote from their mission page, "We believe personnel is policy. The goal is to educate, to track demographic information of all appointed political positions. We will provide the analysis to government hiring managers, recruiters, the media, partner organization, and interested individuals. This will also serve as a baseline and a tool to measure progress. Inclusive America also partners with individuals, organizations, and associations to develop slates of qualified, diverse candidates for every relevant position, so we can provide a positive alternative to the status quo." So they go to organizations and businesses and say, you need to hire diversity coordinators, and here is a list of those who qualify. Here are some high priests of wokeism. And Inclusive America has launched a pledge for diversity, equity, and inclusion for corporations to sign. So while conservatives are speaking up at school board meetings, the left is placing secular wokeism chaplains in the school. I mean, this is because the religion of secular humanism is permitted in schools because it's considered science, it's considered neutral, it's considered non-religious, but Christianity is outlawed. I mean, we don't get to put Christian chaplains in the school. So who do you think is going to win the minds of students in the long run? So, the point I'm trying to make here is that the left is working extremely hard to turn America into Sodom. Our generation of social leaders is totally sold on CRT and BLM and LGBTQ, that gender needs to be erased, that capitalism needs to be erased, that private businesses need to be erased, the Constitution, free speech, religion, Western values need to be erased. But will they succeed? The enemies of the Lord, they look strong, they look numerous. But by the authority of the Word of God, I can confidently tell you that the left will not succeed. The left will implode and lose. We could look at hundreds of scriptures in this regard, but I'm going to close with one, an unlikely text. We need to get into some scripture here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the text where Paul begins by explaining to Timothy that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of the good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But we often stop here and fail to read on, because Paul then uses the example of two Old Testament false teachers, Jannes and Jambres, the magicians or the court advisors to Pharaoh who tried to refute Moses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, but just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved minds, rejected in regard to the faith. And we have many people like that in our nation today. And we know what happened there. Exodus chapter 7, verse 12, for each one threw down his staff and they turned into serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. And eventually Moses, by God's power, took down the entire nation of Egypt, the greatest nation on earth at that time. And this all becomes a type or an example of God's victory in every age and at the end of this age. I mean, yes, even for a while, it looked like evil was succeeding and being empowered in Egypt. Even the Jews thought that Moses was a failure. But eventually, Egypt imploded. And so Paul writes about Jannes and Jambres, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all. But the they in that verse is not just referring to Jannes and Jambres. It's referring back to all of the men in the last days that Paul mentions in verse 2. Those who will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, haters of the good. I mean, yes, the church will suffer persecution in the coming apocalypse. And the Antichrist kingdom may look successful, but it's only a temporary illusion. The kingdom of the Antichrist will be a complete disaster for this world, showcasing the folly of secular humanism. For their folly will be obvious to all, and it will give the church a great opportunity to showcase the gospel. So, what are we to do while we're waiting for wokeism to implode? Well, in the same chapter, Paul then writes to Timothy. He warns Timothy of persecution. But nevertheless, he says to Timothy, be faithful in communicating the word of God, because the word of God is the solution. The word of God leads people to salvation. 2 Timothy 3:10, now you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, and persecutions and sufferings. Verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The solution is to keep teaching the Word of God. Because the Word of God is a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. Jeremiah chapter 23. So let's continue to teach and preach the Scriptures. Because in the grassroots, we are building the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom that will put to an end all other kingdoms, but will itself endure forever. So to say this again and again every week is no trouble to me, but it's a safeguard for you. Thanks for listening today. This Friday and Saturday, I'll be hanging out at a God and Country table at Bridgefest in Ocean Grove. Stop by and say hello if you can. Next week, I'll have the radio program, the audio, but there will be no YouTube. I'm planning to travel to Minnesota to visit my son, his wife, and my new grandbaby. God willing, I'll be back at this desk doing YouTubes as soon as possible. Until then, keep the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And may Jesus Christ reign.